Normally we say we should be humble and we should not take offense when somebody disrespects or insults us.
Yeah.
But in the case of Dhruv Maharaj, he was insulted and he took offense and he took it
Yeah.
so seriously that he actually went and left home. And then by his practice of bhakti, he attained the Lord, and when he came back, he had already developed humility. He had actually become very gentle towards everyone. So is it that sometimes taking offense can feel taking offense or feeling insulted that can inspire us to practice bhakti more seriously? Yes. There are two different things going on over here. One is the stimulus for starting bhakti, and second is the stimulus. Second is the attitude for sustaining bhakti. The two are different things. The stimulus for starting bhakti can be anything. It's like akamah sarva kama va moksha kama udarati tivrena bhakti yogena yet purusham param. The Bhagavatam second canto says that, with all desires, with no desires, with the desire for liberation, any way one can practice bhakti. One should just worship the Supreme Lord intensely. So the stimulus, initial stimulus can come from anywhere when it comes to the practice of bhakti. And it can come from Rajoguna, as in the case of, say, Dhruva Maharaj, where he's a Kshatriya, and as a Kshatriya, for a Kshatriya, honor is very important. When they're dishonored, they just can't tolerate it. So now that dishonor could have led to various things. So now we see that Duryodhana felt dishonored when he slipped and fell in the water in the Maya Sabha, and others laughed at him. Now, what did he do because of dishonor? He did not become dharmic. He actually became adharmic. He conspired to have the Pandavas come and gamble, and he cheated so that the Pandavas lost the gambling match, and he grievously dishonored Draupadi. So it is not that his taking ins so it is not that just because somebody takes insult at a, or feels insulted, that automatically will become an impetus to take shelter of Krishna. It was the expert guidance of the spiritual guides that enabled Dhruva Maharaj to channel his anger towards bhakti. So it was his mother first who told him to go and search for Vishnu, and Narad Muni who told him to worship the Supreme Lord, give him the practical guidance for how to worship the Supreme Lord. So if he had not got that guidance, that anger could well have led to a variety of problems. He might have become vengeful. I thought, I will rebel against my father. So it could that anger could have gone either way. It could have gone, and usually anger doesn't normally take us towards dharma, it takes us towards adharma. So now in our practice of bhakti, say it is possible that sometimes being neglected or dishonored can inspire us to practice bhakti more seriously. Say, for example, if we are distributing books and other devotees are distributing books, and somehow other devotees distribute more books than us and they get all the honor, and we are not only not we are actually neglected, we are snubbed, and we feel bad about it. But that may inspire me that, oh, next year in the marathon I will distribute more books, and because of that I may actually put in more effort, more energy, and I may distribute more books, and next year I may be honored also. Now in one sense, because we felt motivated to do service to Krishna, that is good. But in another sense, the that kind of devotional service can be very unpleasant. I say there sometimes devotees, when they are motivated only by competition, not by devotion so much. And say some devotees, when they would, this all this happened when the devotees were very young, there are two, three bus parties, they would go out, and one bus party wanted to come the number one. Just before they would go out in their bus, they would just puncture the tires of the other buses. So in that case, what is happening? The competition is becoming destructive. So we as human beings, as conscious beings, we naturally see honor. The need for honor is not always an expression of the ego only. you know, honor is also basically a matter of reciprocation. So in the Vaishnava culture, as individuals we are told we should not expect respect, but then all of us are also told we should respect others. So Vaishnava culture is a culture of respectfulness. So to be so if you are doing some service, to be appreciated, to be recognized, we could say at one level that is a natural human need. And the Vaishnava society also, Vaishnava culture also accommodates that natural human need. But the problem comes when that becomes the sole motivator for our bhakti. That means, oh, if I'll give class, if there are only if there are 1,000 people, or and then they should appreciate me. If there's only one or two person, why should I speak about Krishna? Why should I waste my time? Now, yes, in some situations we may have some other more important service to do, and that's why we may not go for a program where there are one or two people, and we may go for a program where there are a large number of people. But the point is that it is not just the principle is where I can best serve. The principle is not that because I am getting more recognition, so I'll go there, and because I'm getting less recognition, I'll not go there. The principle is where can I best serve? Sometimes going to meet one person who is very sincere, that might be more fruitful in terms of getting that person closer to Krishna. So, in general, humility is the disposition that can help us move closer to Krishna, and that can help us to serve Krishna. Or sometimes humility we equate with tolerating insults, or being trampled down by others, used as a wet rag by others. But all that is not humility. I have a whole seminar on self-pity is not humility, or negativity is not humility. So basically Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport that in 13.8-12 that humility means to not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others.
Mm-hmm.
That means to not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. The way I put it is that humility means to not let our ego interfere with our purpose. So I have a purpose to serve Krishna, and I'll not let my ego come in the way. But then it is not that humility means that I let myself be unnecessarily beaten up, derided, mocked. That itself is not humility. Our purpose is to serve Krishna. And for serving Krishna, if we get honor, while serving Krishna, if we get honor, then that honor can be used to Krishna's service. Because if people are respectful to a speaker, they will take in the message more seriously. Yeah, so that honor is not the sole driving factor for our decisions. So it's not that getting insulted will inspire us to practice bhakti. It is the association of devotees and the guidance therein that will inspire us to practice bhakti. And that guidance can even turn negative things into positive for practicing bhakti. Even something like insult or something like distress or loss, that can also be converted into impetus for practice bhakti. But that is the initial stimulus for practicing bhakti. The sustainer for practicing bhakti, if a person is always taking offense, then they will not be able to practice bhakti steadily. We need to have we need to make sure that our ego doesn't interfere with our purpose. Then we will be able to practice bhakti sustainably.